This is an ABC podcast.
Just a heads up before we get started, there is some mild swearing in this episode of The Signal.
So someone from outside of Victoria would be stunned at these beautiful forests. They're the tallest flowering plants in the world. They produce almost all of the water for the 5 million people of Melbourne and people north of the Divide. They have unique biodiversity, such as Leadbeater's possum, that are found almost nowhere else. And they're truly a spectacular, presently missed opportunity for tourism. You know, this is a forest 1.5 hours drive from the MCG. Magnificent area, stunningly beautiful, and almost completely unknown at this stage.
Victoria has lost more of its native vegetation to land clearing than any other state in Australia. Native forest logging has less than a decade left to run. But as the timber supply dwindles, the state government's logging business VicForests has been found to be clearing in protected areas, including the habitat of endangered species. And now, the company is facing new allegations. I'm Ange Lavoie-Pierre.
And I'm Stephen Smiley. And today on The Signal, a special investigation into whether logging in Victoria could threaten Melbourne's water supply.
Okay, Mikey, I'm going to get you to introduce yourself, please.
Yep, I'm Mikey Slezak. I'm the National Environment Reporter for ABC.
All right, so we're going to start at the top here for people who have not heard of VicForests. What exactly is VicForests?
Yeah, so VicForests is a Victorian government-owned agency. It's set up as a corporation, and its responsibility is to harvest and sell timber from the state forests of Victoria.
We are responsible forest managers who care about Victoria's forests. We don't harvest a tree without rigorous, methodical planning. We protect flora and fauna, threatened species and culturally significant sites.
So VicForests hires contractors to go out into the forests and cut down the trees. And then VicForests sells those logs to paper mills, so they turn into pulp, and sawmills to turn into timber. Most of it goes to pulp for paper.
When did you start looking into this company?
Yeah, so I've been reporting on logging in Victoria and so therefore VicForests for a few years, maybe about 3 years. And a lot of that has revolved around allegations of them doing things that are against the law, whether that being logging in areas that conservationists say aren't allowed because they are important habitat for endangered species, or like with this story, allegations that they're logging in ways that will damage drinking water.
So it's those claims of illegal clearing in a crucial part of Melbourne's water catchment that have brought Mikey back to this story.
There have been allegations that VicForests have been logging on steep slopes in Victoria's central highlands and elsewhere. Now, some of the areas where VicForests log are water catchments for Melbourne and the rest of Victoria. So areas that collect the water that you end up drinking if you live in Melbourne or that farmers use elsewhere in the state. In those areas, there are laws saying that VicForests can't log on slopes that are steeper than a particular angle. The worry is that if they log on very steep slopes in the water catchments, that the trees will no longer serve the purpose that they do, which is to hold the soil in place. So once the trees are gone, the soil can wash down those steep slopes and into the waterways, and that can contaminate the water. And so the allegation has been that VicForests has been in a systemic and widespread way breaching those restrictions and putting water resources at risk.
So where are those allegations coming from and what evidence is there to support them?
Yeah, so primarily the allegations are coming from these two academics at the Australian National University, Professor David Lindenmayer and Dr. Chris Taylor.
Yes, Professor David Lindenmayer from the Fenner School of Environment and Society at the Australian National University.
Okay, my name's Dr. Chris Taylor. I'm a research fellow at the Fenner School of Environment and Society at Australian National University. Coming here and just seeing the ruggedness of this country, it is actually hard to believe that logging has actually occurred within the slope prescriptions of the law. And when we tested that and we looked at that, we saw breaches happening across multiple areas. And it's quite obvious when you look at this landscape, you can barely walk up these slopes.
They've done quite extensive studies of the issue. First, they relied on satellite data, which is not enormously accurate. It has like a 30-metre resolution. So it tells you at every 30 metres around the forest how high and therefore how steep the forest is. But actually, recently, what both the academics and the ABC have obtained is what's called LIDAR data, which is this incredibly detailed data set that tells you at 1 meter resolution the elevation of every point in the forest. And that's the very data that Vic Forests uses to plan its logging operations. So it says it uses the LIDAR data to go out and decide where it can and where it can't log. So we've got that now, and so do the academics. And so we can actually display this incredible, amazing model of the slopes in the forest. And the academics use that to say that, look, even by the data that Vic Forests is using themselves, they're breaching the law in a widespread and systemic way.
So we're able to put maps of the steepness of the landscape together with maps of where logging had occurred. And as soon as we began to do that, it became quite clear that large areas of forest that were above 30 degrees had been logged.
To say that these are compliant with the law, particularly after measuring them and also using LIDAR to assess them, it's beyond doubt now that slopes which should have been protected have been logged.
On the rules around logging on certain gradients and you know, the need to protect drinking water, is there any sign that logging has led to a degradation of the quality of the drinking water for Melbourne?
No. Look, there's no evidence that what they've done has resulted in poorer drinking water quality. I spoke to Professor Stuart Kahn, who's a water quality and water treatment expert at UNSW, and he says that the problem isn't about individual cases, it's a cumulative effect. So the more you log in the water catchment at all, especially on steeper slopes, the worse the outcomes are going to be.
So the forests are essential in making sure that the water is already of high quality before it comes into the reservoir and into the distribution system to provide that water. The forests do a number of things. One, the vegetation in the forests slows down the path of the water. So the water, instead of just running across the surface of the catchment, it will has time to infiltrate down through the soil, and then it's filtered as it runs underground through the soil to the local waterway and into the reservoir. So you end up with a higher quality water when you do that. The other thing that the forests do is that they keep the soil in place. All of that vegetation, the root structure, the trees themselves, keep the soil in place and therefore prevent erosion from occurring. So erosion happens when you have a heavy rainfall event, there's nothing to hold the soil in place, and you end up with mudslides and you end up with water that contains a lot of that suspended soil and other turbidity running off into waterways.
Now, there's also problems about the measurement itself. I asked Professor David Lindenmayer about this issue, about whether there's been evidence of actual harms to the water. And he said, look, the problem is that we're not conducting adequate testing. To know whether the logging has caused a problem, you need to have good baseline studies. You need to know what the water quality was like immediately before the logging and then afterwards. And he says those studies haven't been done.
And Mike, you mentioned that you've looked into this company over the years and there have been other allegations levelled at Vic Forests before, particularly to do with illegal logging. What is the history here?
Yeah, so look, one of the most recent findings was in the federal court just this year. The federal court ruled that Vic Forests had been breaching six different aspects of the law in relation to their logging. And so that included, for instance, not adequately surveying areas before they log to find leadbeater's possums, which are an endangered animal that live in the forests there, and also damaging the aesthetic value of forests. So they're not allowed to log within a certain distance of important roads or main roads that people drive along just because it kind of ruins the look of the forests. And the federal court ruled that they'd been breaching that as well. And over the years, there's been quite a lot of successful injunctions sought and won against Vic Forests, stopping them from doing what was determined to be illegal logging had it occurred.
What has the regulator had to say about the recent allegations, the ones about logging on the slopes?
Yeah, so look, the backwards and forwards between both the academics and the regulator, and in fact me trying to get to the bottom of this and the regulator, has been going on for a couple of years now. What we can piece together now is that the regulator was presented with a complaint by Professor David Lindenmayer and Chris Taylor that basically alleged hundreds and hundreds of cases of illegal logging across the state.
When we collected the findings, we checked all the results and then we prepared the paper for publication. And we wrote to the Office of the Conservation Regulator indicating that there had been widespread breaches. we expected when we handed our results to the regulator that there would be significant action about the widespread breaches of forest laws that have been going on for nearly 15 years.
It turns out that the regulator conducted three investigations. So they investigated two specific cases of illegal logging, and then one third investigation was looking at the systemic claim itself. Now, I've also obtained through FOI their own desktop analysis, the regulator's desktop analysis, trying to assess this claim of systemic breaches. And that desktop analysis found that more than 95% of the areas that had been logged contained potential breaches. Vic Forest is regulated by the Office of the Conservation Regulator, which is a little office inside the Environment Department in Victoria. And I spoke to the Chief Conservation Regulator there, Kate Gavins. And look, she says that you need to do a lot more than just desktop analysis. You need to get out into the forest and have a look on the ground at what's happened.
Hi, Michael, it's Kate Gavins here. How are you?
G'day, Kate. Thanks so much for calling. If even Vic Forest's own analysis finds that they're breaching the law in such a widespread and systemic way, why would the OCR conclude that such allegations can't be substantiated?
Well, Michael, again, I think there's a difference between a desktop analysis and detailed in-field analysis. And as a regulator, our role is to analyse the law, understand what compliance, what constitutes compliance, and to thoroughly investigate that. And that's what we've done in this circumstance, undertaking detailed in-field measurements, both looking at slopes and looking at environmental harm to determine the outcome.
How many of the 530 coops that you did a desktop analysis of did you do an in-field analysis of?
I can provide that information to you, Michael. I don't have that figure in my head.
So they found it, but they didn't find it? I don't understand.
Yeah, well, look, they found it in desktop analysis using this model data, and they say that you need more than that. You need to go out there and look at it on the ground. So, I tried over many months, tried to narrow down getting an answer to how many sites they visited to assess this allegation. It turns out they visited two of the hundreds and hundreds of sites. And in both, they found a breach. So sort of like 100% hit rate, really. Another thing that the regulator says is that it can't investigate things that have occurred more than 2 years ago. Now, it's not clear why they think that they can't. There's a statute of limitations that says that you can't prosecute Vic Forests under the criminal law for things that they did more than 2 years ago. But there's about 10 other enforcement actions that the regulator can take that don't have a two-year statute of limitations. You know, it's not clear to me why the regulator hasn't been taking more action here. They do seem to have the power to do that.
And that is something that the ANU scientist Mikey mentioned earlier, Dr. Chris Taylor, is really frustrated about.
I had no idea how the OCR conducted its investigation. It gave a one-paragraph dismissal and it said nothing at all about how it arrived at its conclusion. The regulator's not doing its job. It's got to go out there and regulate. Well, it makes me furious because the regulator has access to this information. And we had to undertake a costly Freedom of Information request to get this data that took nearly a year. And when we got it, we were then told that we should have presented it earlier. But they've got access to this data.
All right, so where's the Victorian government in all this? I mean, they're the owner of Vic Forests. What have they had to say?
Yeah, that's right. They are the owner of Vic Forests. They're also regulating Vic Forests. As this story has progressed over the last couple of years, there's recently been quite a development, which is that the government has changed the law in this regard. They've changed the law so that Vic Forests can log up to 10% of any of these areas that were called coops beyond the legal limit that was previously in place. Professor David Lindenmayer says that that has the effect of making illegal logging now legal.
When they're caught like this, what they do is they change the law. They don't change their practice, they change the law rather than doing what good governance should do, and that's to change their practice. We have politicians saying that we have the best regulated forests in the world. Well, frankly, that's bullshit. And our work shows that it's bullshit. And we need to do something about it.
The thing is that by according to any of the data sets that we've looked at, if they conducted the logging that is subject to the allegations that have been made, lots of that would still be illegal. So in some coops, the allegations are that they've logged well over 10% of the coop over the limit. So in some coops, it's getting close to 30%. I was standing on in one part of forest where the data suggests they logged a quarter of the coop over the legal limit. So changing the law won't be enough to make these allegations go away. The allegations are so serious that they would be breaches of the law even under the new law.
So Mikey also went to the Victorian Minister for the Environment, Lily D'Ambrosio, for comment, and she gave him a statement saying that she takes allegations of non-compliance very seriously. She says that that's the reason she requested an independent review of the OCR's investigations into the matter of illegal logging on slopes, a review which the minister claims subsequently cleared the OCR. She goes on to say that she's been working to improve environmental protection standards in the state with stronger laws, and that that work is ongoing. Mikey also asked Vic Forests about the allegations, and a spokesperson pointed out in a written response that the regulator, the OCR, had looked into the matter and it hadn't been substantiated. They went on to say that there are circumstances where harvesting beyond the limits is allowed, and that the company uses a range of measures to protect the environment when harvesting, including buffers to protect water quality, in keeping with the rules.
Where does all this leave Vic Forests? What are the consequences for the company, if any?
So far, it doesn't look like there have been any consequences in this matter or in many of the other ones that have been raised over the years. In the end, Vic Forests is on the way out. It's dying. There's an end date set for logging of native forests in Victoria of 2030. So I guess the question is, how strong will the regulation of them be between now and 2030 when they wrap up their operations?
That is the signal for today, and this is actually just a taste of the stories Mikey is doing about Vic Forests and logging in Victoria for 7:30. Keep an eye out for the full investigation on the program, on iView, or on the ABC News website. And Ange and I will be back right here with a new episode of The Signal at the same time tomorrow. Our email, if you'd like to get in touch, is thesignal@abc.net.au.
We'll catch you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.